You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
I want to say welcome. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us this morning, to worship the Lord Jesus. And thank you so much for praying for me. This week I was speaking at Camp Sasqua, speaking to a girls' camp, and it was an amazing time as we focused on Isaiah 40 and just really like just walking through Isaiah 40, seeing how just great thoughts about God, right thoughts about God lead to right thoughts about ourselves. And so thank you so much for praying. It was an amazing time. And if you have your Bibles, would you open them to Philippians? I was going to say Isaiah 40. Would you open them to Philippians chapter 4? We're wrapping up our series where we've been looking, and we've titled this series Joyful Kingdom Citizens, where there's something that this book does. It just really just plunges you into joy, where Paul really just like he addresses the topic of joy at least 21 times in the book. And when you look at this whole book, no matter whatever was going on, we know Philippi was actually the place where in Acts chapter 16 there was upheaval and there was idol worship and there was persecutions, and even Paul had really been almost stoned at that church in that city. But Philippi was going through a lot as a church, but yet Paul just continues to actually encourage them to rejoice in the Lord. And we see him also rejoicing in the Lord, showing them that even though he's in prison, he also is rejoicing in the Lord. And so just an overview of where we've been, what we've looked at. We've looked in chapter 1, we've seen Paul keeping a humble, thankful, and prayerful posture as he sees what Christ is doing. And we saw in chapter and also that despite his chains, Paul just continues to rejoice because the gospel is still being spread, and he's looking and he's seeing Jesus on the move everywhere. And not only that, we see him just then urging the church to leave their heavenly call as citizens with humility, and he calls them to humble unity based on their experience of God. And then that's where we see in chapter 2 just the greatest poem ever written, where he just then points and says, our humility, everything that we do needs to follow the example of Christ, who humbled himself and took on flesh and died an obedient death, but yet he has been exalted. And really then he's just pointing and saying that if you're looking at an upward trajectory as a Christian, the way up is down. And he says, as Christians, we have to prize humility as the people of God. And we see him actually also saying, and really kind of calling believers to imitate, to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, and then to imitate Timothy and Epaphroditus, who are servants of Christ and who just are examples of what it looks like to adopt a mind of Christ. And then we saw in chapter 3 where Paul goes through his whole resume, and he says that his resume, despite everything he had accomplished, when it came to gaining Christ, it all became nothing compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And then we saw even last week as Peter spoke that like he was just that our unity and fellowship are amplifiers of joy in the Christian life. And so we are looking today at the culmination of that book. the culmination of that book, where we are still following at what is it that's giving Paul sustained joy in the midst of everything. And I pray that you and I would actually be able to actually find a way through this book, that you would go back and you would find a way to see, follow Paul's footsteps and the church of Philippi's footsteps in cultivating joy, even when circumstances around you are not going the right, they're not going our way, right? And what Paul does, and this is what we will see. We could go a million different ways in this passage here today, but I just want us to follow what Paul is doing in this passage, and what Paul is doing here that gives him sustained joy. I don't know if you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia. If you've read the Chronicles of Narnia, you would know that there's a little girl called Lucy. And Lucy has this ability to be able to see. She's been given this gift to be able to see Aslan on the move. And she's convincing all her siblings, "Hey, I saw Aslan." And all of them are like, they even say she is crazy. But she sees Aslan. She sees glimpses of Aslan everywhere. And even Aslan later on says, "You should have just followed me. You should have just followed me," because it leads to sadness in Lucy's side, on Lucy's part, because she ends up following her brothers and sisters when she knows that Aslan had said, "Go this way." And here, what we're going to see in this passage is that the pathway towards sustained joy in Paul's life isn't just seeing Christ at work in the church, despite his circumstances. He tracks where Christ is at work. And we're going to see it here in the book, because like this letter is a big thank you. But as he's thanking them for their gospel partnership, Paul has also a pardon here. What D.A. Carson says, that his pardon is to thank God for what the believers have done and for the signs of spiritual vitality that he detects in them. He sees what they're doing, but he sees beyond that, and he sees Christ on the move in the church. That is suffering, but yet he is aware. He sees Christ on the move in the church and also in himself, even in the midst of suffering. So if you can walk away with anything today, it's going to be this one big idea. Resilient kingdom joy is sustained by gratitude that flows from seeing where God is working in you and around you. Right? And this is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. He said, gratitude changes the pangs of the memory, the pangs of memory into tranquil joy. Right? Someone said, and this is what I love cooking. I love cooking. I love seasoning. Everything that I make. And he said, this is what someone says, gratitude is seasoning for all seasons. Right, seasoning for all seasons. And so we see Paul here looking. He's in a Roman prison. This is probably his last moment, his last moments. He's about to meet death, and his future is uncertain. And he says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." And then to die is gain, but I would love to be with you. But in the midst of all that, he is sustained by watching what Christ is doing. And so when he looks at the church, he sees the church extending Christ-like care. They are a church that actually is modeling Christ in how Christ has humbly cared for him. And then he also sees Christ-like care. Look at verse 10. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly," right? "Because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it." And so here we're seeing Paul is looking and he's saying that they've renewed their care for him. And the prison system of that day was different than ours today, where our taxpayer dollars get to actually feed and take care of those in prison. But in the Roman prisons, it was your relatives and your friends that took care of you, that fed you in prison. And Paul, he has received a gift from Epaphroditus where they are caring for him and they're taking care of him. But Paul is looking beyond the gift and he's like, I have seen this gift. And he's seeing beyond the present gift and he sees a Christ-like care in them. And he's grateful. He rejoices in the Lord because he is looking and he sees them living a Christ-like, Christ-likeness in their care for him as well. He's received this unexpected gift, and concern there means to have vital interest in someone's affair. And for Paul, he's looking at them, and they're looking towards beyond their own interest, and they're taking care of him. But he knows that they've got nothing as a church. But they're going out of their way to take care of him as well. Their thoughtful care, and that's actually like the word there, you have renewed your care for me. And the word there, it means that their care has blossomed and it has flourished. It means that it has bloomed like a flower, right? Paul sees here that, man, it is because of Jesus in you. It is because of Jesus in you that your care was like that flower that is still closed, and it has now become beautiful. And it is because you've let Jesus and his care through you that you have sent Epaphroditus to travel almost 800 miles towards me. This is like almost 6 weeks of traveling just to come and take care of me. And for Paul, he's looking at that and he says that, man, joy wells up in my heart. Because for you, it was just an ordinary gift. To me, it was you became conduits of God's grace because you acted like Christ. You showed me what the mind of Christ looks like. And church, this is actually how joy is cultivated in within our midst. And if you've been to Regroup, every single Tuesday, we're reading Ed Welch's book of care. What does it look like to care for one another? Because when we look into the Bible and we look, care for one another is one of the ways in which us as a church, we sustain, we cultivate joy, Christian joy in one another. And this is what Paul is going to say in Romans 14, that the kingdom of joy is love, is joy, peace. And then not only that, it is actually righteousness in God. But this is actually like that joy is cultivated in what? In caring for one another. There is a way in which when we care for one another, we meet each other. Like if we follow the imagery here, when we care for one another, when you think about the other, when you think about a member in the church or a fellow church attender, and you think about them out of the blue and you call them, or you think about them and you pray for them and you call them and you tell them, hey, I've been thinking about you, I'm praying for you. A lot of times it's God's spirit in within you that's been working to remind you, hey, pray for your brother or your sister, they are struggling, and then you care for them. And you know what that does? What that does here, what Paul says, he says that caring for one another is like meeting each other in the winters of life. And then meeting one another in the winters of life, and through Christ's care, nurturing each other into the springs of Christ's grace. You've seen the trees in winter, haven't you? You've seen them. They are alive, but they look dead. But what Paul says here, he says that their care has actually now become the spring in his life, and it has brought joy. And so concern and care for one another leads to rejoicing in the Lord because while acts seem ordinary, right, they can be conduits of God's new mercies in one another. And so I want to urge us as a church, would you really, let's follow even just the New Testament example of caring for one another. Ever since, if you read Acts chapter 2, the church blossomed in that day because they cared for one another. And City Church, as your pastor, I just really want to urge you, let us not get weary of doing well and caring for one another, because when we do that, we meet each other in the cruddy valleys of life, and then we raise each other through the care of Christ. And by caring for one another, it is actually brings sustained joy in each other's lives. It means that you and I have responsibilities as church members to actually fight for each other's joy. Amen. And we see this church doing that on Paul's behalf, right? So Christian joy, also Christians grow by caring for and nurturing one another. As you care for those that are around you, Christ begins to grow you in Christ-likeness as well. That gives Paul joy. And I want to tell you, as one of the elders and pastor here, it gives me joy when I stumble on some of you in coffee shops, just drinking coffee with one another, checking on each other. It just gives me joy when I see pictures on social media of you eating dinner with one another. I know you're caring greatly for one another. And that is the way in which, as kingdom citizens, we take care of one another. Amen, church? It gives me joy when I see you guys hosting cookouts and you're barbecuing and inviting one another and eating. That is actually kingdom joy is cultivated in that way. Amen. And we also see joy being cultivated in Paul's life when he's aware what's happening in him. What was happening in him when he's in prison at that moment? When obviously, like, maybe the gifts haven't come and no one is taking care of him at that moment. Paul is aware of something that is also happening in within him. In that season, when Paul's life feels like that tree that has no leaves and it looks like it's winter, Paul is aware of something else that's giving him sustained joy. Look at verse 11. I don't say this out of need. And Paul is like, I'm so grateful that you guys gave me stuff. But let me tell you something. I want to share with you what's been happening in my life as well. I don't say this for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. Right? I know how to make do with the little. And I know how to make do with the Lord in any, and I love this because now he's going to actually start really just talking about what kind of circumstances are you talking about, Paul? In any and all circumstances, underlying those, because this envelopes everything that you go through. Amen? Right? In any and all circumstances, I know how to make do with a Lord, right? And he says that in any and I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. And so this is like a bouncy ball that just like springs, whether down or up, whether well-fed, right? Amen. Like we are living it up and we are living in affluence, or whether hungry. Whether in abundance, whether in need, I am able to do things through him who strengthens me. Can we just take that in for a second? This is the context of that verse. This is not like I'm just trying to figure out how to wing it through something and so therefore I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? This is not athletics. This is not, so we've got that cleared, okay? The reason why that bumper sticker is there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what they mean? These are for Paul. He's saying, man, I've been to ground zero where I was beaten, shipwrecked, flogged, persecuted, lowered out of a city because be lowered out of a city in a basket, stoned almost to close to death. Like I'm talking about the betrayed, hated, gossiped against, backbit, all those things. I'm talking about like when I felt like no one cared. And he says, but Christ stood next to me. But I remember the days when I had everything. And it's just like, man, I had abundance and everything. Everything was great. Everything. Man, like, guys, you remember this. I'm Paul. I've got the pedigree. I've got my CV is inexhaustible. Read Philippians 3. You know I am the goat of the goats in the Jewish community, right? I'm the greatest of all time because I have all the righteousness, I have everything that I could boast in. But you know what? Even there, I knew that Christ was everything to me compared to that. Right? So Paul is rejoicing, not because he has need, but because of their concern has been learned, because of their concern, he has learned also to be content with or without, right? He was being formed to be like Christ even in the ground zero or even in those times when he had everything. Right? So we see that here he is content because he's learned how to live in all that. And for him, he says, I have found the secret sauce of the Christian life. What is that? He has become experienced in how to be brought low, right? And that secret is that in both extremes, having full and empty stomachs, having plenty to go with, and then having nothing, it's Christ. Christ is the constant in those moments. And so, you see, he's looking and he's saying, wow. I thought this was going to be bad, but Christ is sustaining me here. And I love that the present tense there, Christ strengthens me. The present tense here, it indicates that in changing circumstances, he has a continuing, listen to this, a continuing, timeless reality of Christ's strength, empowering him and enabling him. He has this continuing reality of Christ's strength. It's empowering him. And Christ is his constant, right, in these fluctuant times. Christ is his constant. Paul says he's learned contentment. And there's something about humans is that, like, we struggle when it comes to contentment. We struggle. It reminds me of a story that was told of a gentleman who was going to school and he had applied for being a pilot. And he was waiting, and he was so discontent. And so he was finding himself, he went and he was fishing. And as he was fishing, and he was like, man, every time he saw a plane fly by, and he was like, man, oh, how I wish I could be up there flying a plane. And so he was not enjoying his fishing because he was always wanting to be somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, his applications are open, and now he's flying planes. And as he's flying planes, as he's taking off or as he's landing, he's seeing all those puddles of water everywhere. And he's like, oh, how it would be so great if I could just get down there and actually fish and just enjoy life. That's us. A lot of times we don't enjoy what's going on in this moment to actually take a pulse of because we're always looking forward to where to be at next, we struggle. We are always a discontent people, right? But Paul is slowing down and checking his pulse. And he's saying this. Paul is saying that, guys, I realized that when I was by myself here, God was enrolling me into a school. In dry seasons, in seasons of trouble, God was enrolling me into a school of contentment. Why? Because when everything was stripped and I felt like everything was out of control, he writes somewhere and he says the anxiety of the health of the churches, it eats me up. But he says, man, that's when I learned how to hold on to Christ. And he says, when I had everything, and even those are the dangerous times because we're so prone to forget God when everything is not going good, right? Paul is like, that's when I read through everything and I realized, man, Christ is still all that I need there. So joy is sustained when we look to Christ for contentment. And so times of affluence, when we had everything, when we have everything. So this might be some of us in the room where life might be going great and all that. And I just want to beg you, like, let's follow Paul here. What he's really warning us here is that in times of affluence, it can be so easy to forget that really what you need is Christ. Because when the ground opens and then everything all of a sudden is threatened, your 401k, your retirement or all that, you will find yourself in anxiety. But yet Paul has said, no. In all anxiety, be anxious for nothing, but remember your security is in God. Tie your joy where it will not be moved, right? Amen? So in times of affluence or lack and enrollment in the school of trusting in Christ should deepen in our lives. So my question for us is this: where are you finding contentment? And this morning, I'm just asking you also to take a bold step through Christ's strength and begin to fire every source of contentment in your life and really then put it all in Christ, because that's what Paul here is saying. His contentment is focused on all that he enjoys in Christ, and this means that he has learned by hard experiences and not only that, by relaxed experiences that contentment is to be found in Christ, right? And Paul now, he looks out, but then he looks back out, he looks inside and he says, man, Christ has given me contentment. He looks out again and he begins to look at the church and he's like, but come to think of it, guys, man, I'm amazed at your guys' commitment. Your Christ-sustained commitment. I'm amazed at how Christ has been working in you. Look at verse 14. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. He didn't even spend that much time in Thessalonica. And they were finding out where he is. And they were like, Paul, we want to take good care of you. Not that I seek the gift. Paul here, he is actually saying, guys, it's not about the gift. I'm grateful that you gave, but there's something also that's going on in here. But I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. I seek, because I want to flame, I want to kind of just continue to blow on this flame that is at work inside within you, because it is not just you. I know the hard times you're going through as a church, but I'm amazed at the fact that you still have this Christ-like concern. You are demonstrating a Christ-like nature of like, man, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Man, he could have sat there, enjoyed angels worshiping him, but he humbled himself and he's looking at them and he's saying, man, it is Christ at work in you. but I've received everything in full. I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided. And Paul says, man, for you, it was just a gift. To me, it was looking at, and you guys, it was a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Right now, to God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And what we see is that Paul continues to acknowledge here their kindness. He considers the gift not merely financial help, but especially an act and sharing in hardship with him. How? Because Paul is looking and he's marveling. It had been 10 years. In a 10-year span, this church that he had preached the gospel to has actually entered into a partnership with him through giving and receiving financially to fuel gospel ministry. They were saying, Paul, what Paul is amazed by here is that when Jesus changed their lives, and they now got jealous, and they said, we want everyone, you go everywhere you go, we want to make sure we are behind you, Paul. Because we know what Paul would do when he would go. He writes in Thessalonians, that he would actually sometimes, he would work tent making, and then he would preach. But the church in Philippi were like, Paul, we want you to dedicate as much time in preaching the gospel. And Paul is looking back and he's saying, guys, when I'm looking at you, you have moved from just consumers to actually what? Partners in the gospel ministry. And Paul is saying, but that's just not you. I know when I met you, you were idol worshipers. I know when I met you, you were worshiping Caesar as the emperor, as Lord. I know when I met you, but man, there's something that has happened. Now you are partnering with me to see Jesus as Lord proclaimed everywhere. And for that, Paul just has joy. He has joy. Because beyond the giving, Paul sees this as a sacrificial, sweet-smelling offering that God accepts and is pleased by. What is he pointing to there? He is saying that the church is being like Christ by actually their commitment to the gospel and their commitment to the multiplication of disciples all over, wherever they go. And it's pretty interesting because even when they're sustaining Paul in prison, in the Roman prison, prisoners would actually die of hunger. But Paul is sustained. He says, I have enough. I'm sustained. But what does Paul do when he gets up from there? Do you know what he does? What Paul does when he gets up from there, he starts talking about Jesus. He starts talking about Jesus to who? To the Roman gods, to those that are in Caesar's household. And we're going to get to see here. People are getting saved everywhere, even in the Roman prison. Paul says that I am chained, but the gospel is not chained. And why? Because they are partnering with him. Amen. And this ought to transform a little bit, maybe even just like maybe our view of actually like what really it means when we actually call you to give in tithes and offerings and to give generously to the gospel ministry, even here at City Church. It is not, and believe me, Paul here is saying, I know you gave to me, but, and Paul here is like, no, you are not giving to me. You are giving to see his kingdom come and his will done on here on earth as it is in heaven. And City Church, this is one of the reasons why we, and we'll constantly even continue to encourage you as you continue even to give generously as you have. And it is not just like, and I want you not to just to think about, oh, we're just giving it to the, we're just giving it to the church. No, we're giving it so that every single month, if you were to look at our statements and you will see that we send money towards Guatemala. We send money towards South Africa. We send money all over this city to sustain those that are working with college students, those that are working everywhere. And listen, as a result, joy is sustained when you know that Christ is working in you and through you to make disciples of all nations. And it was this joy that was sustaining Paul. And Paul is looking at them and he says, listen, guys, I know the human heart. The human heart says one word more than anything and everything. It says mine. But you guys are holding loosely to what you have because there's something that's happening. Only Christ can take hands that are folded, that are clasping at what you have and open them and hold them loosely so that they can actually gain something even greater. And Paul here talks, he says the prophet there is Christ-likeness. And says, that's the prophet that I'm actually, when he's saying there, when he's looking there and he's saying that, like, man, I seek the prophet. What is that prophet? The fruit, that word prophet there is the word fruit. It says, it just excites me because all I see is the fruit of God at work in you. And that sustains joy. That sustains joy. Right? And he is saying they're actually what? Exemplifying Christ's sacrificial commitment. Right. And this is actually where we have to talk about this. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but when we talk about like the difference between involvement and commitment is like, you know, is different, is like an egg and ham's breakfast, right? Like the chicken is involved in that breakfast, but the pig is committed to that breakfast. Can we agree with that? Right? The pig is committed in that. It's just like, it makes me feel bad because we like ham, we like bacon, we like all those things. The pig is committed there, right? And what Jesus is, what Paul here is looking at them, he's saying, you guys are like the pig of the story. And that's what, like, we're called to. This is what D.A. Carson says. Both Paul's example and from that of the Philippians, then, you know, from Paul's example and from that of the Philippians, then we must learn this first point, the fellowship of the gospel, the partnership of the gospel must be put at the center of our relationship with other believers. It must be put at the center. One of the reasons why sometimes we really just get tired of coming to church and being in church is because we undermine this one thing. That actually beyond just attending, Christ is calling you. Beyond just giving eggs, Christ is calling you to the ham and bacon ministry in the church. Right? So joy is multiplied when the church ceases to be a consuming space to becoming a partnering space where all of us need to probably be looking, how has Christ wired me? Where has he gifted me? And sometimes it's through our treasures, our talents, in our time, how has Christ has gifted me and using that now to partner with what God has done. And then you get to participate in the joy of seeing God transform the world. And guys, let me tell you this, I was so encouraged this week. I was more than encouraged this week just in watching high school students, college students, like give their lives. And in that camp at Camp Saskwa, there's more than 700 children that have passed through that camp. And watching them exhausted, but still giving everything. And giving everything, jumping, singing silly songs, and doing all. And to what end? To what end? As I was watching them joy, having joy and laughing in joy and chaperoning and herding kids and all around and being asked a million to a thousand questions over and over, I just couldn't help it but just realize this is what it looks like to participate in the joy of the Lord. Because as those hearts get to know Jesus, there is joy in heaven. Literally, like, this is actually, our joy is sustained when we participate in what Jesus is doing on earth. In this world, it can be so tempted for us to fold inwards and be all about ourselves and our kingdom and what we want and what we, every single day we wake up every morning fighting for our own joy. But I'm telling you, joy is only sustained when you open up and you say, Jesus, what are you doing? How can I participate in that? How can I participate in that? That's joy here on earth, and that's joy also for all eternity. Amen? So joy is multiplied, right? It's multiplied. And this is why joy is multiplied also when you begin to, like, as you do that, what Paul does is that he begins to, he says he's got this Christ-focused confidence. And man, as he's doing this, he says, and my God will supply all your needs. I know, guys, that it looks like you have sacrificed so much. I know that it took, but man, I am so confident in this God. God, I am so confident. It says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a whole sermon on its own, and I'm not going to dive way too much. But here what Paul is saying is this. And that word according introduces, he's saying that, listen, I know that you've given. I know that you have been partners with me. I know you've done all these things. But he says sustained joy comes from this unending source. According there introduces us to the source of the supply for all our needs. For all our needs. And that's actually where Paul had planted his confidence. Right? He says, be anxious for nothing. He says, God is near. But in prayer and supplication, man, make your requests known. And he will give you peace that passes understanding. We heard that from the sermon last week. But here, Paul is saying that, like, man, when you, and Paul is looking and he's saying, listen, behind all your sacrificial servitude and your giving and your all that stuff, sustained joy comes from the fact that you know that my joy is not tied in what I have. It's tied in this endless source. And say, he says, God will fill their needs by giving them Christ's great riches. Because of their union with Christ, they are now tied to Christ's great riches, both now and even at Christ's return. And really, basically, he's saying that God is going to take care of them. Their nourishment, according to Psalm 23, their nourishment, their refreshment, their restoration, even their direction, their protection, and their flourishing, everything is actually going to be found in Christ. And so sustained joy comes from confidence in Christ's sufficiency in all of our needs. That all our needs are met in Jesus. Everything. And I love, that's actually why I love the Psalms. It says, all our fountains are found in Jesus. That Christ is, and Christ even is the one who says that, like, if you thirst and you need living water, come and drink in him. So the question here today is, what needs do you have? And Christ says that he is the one who's gonna fulfill all those needs. So Paul ends this letter by just like where probably his joy comes in the most. His joy comes in the most in the fact that God has been building a city, an alternative city in within this Roman Empire. He has been building a city, the city of God, that will not be moved. And so what he says here, he shows us like his joy is tied to Christ-centered citizenship because Christ is transforming people's lives everywhere. And his joy is tied in that. Sometimes we can, our joy tanks when our world is too small. Our joy is tanked when all that you are encouraged about Christ doing and working is all has to do with only you and you and you. If it's all just in within your little square and your address, man, your joy is so tiny. But here Paul lifts up his eyes. Remember, he's in prison? And he says this, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And he says, I know that your guy's heart has been, hearts have been transformed. The brothers who are with me send greetings. And I just want you, he looks at their church and he sees saints, people that have been transformed by Jesus. And he looks around him and he sees brothers, siblings, heavenly siblings, and those that are like, some of them are free. And he says, I see siblings everywhere, right? All the saints around here send greetings. And listen to this, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Do you see what Paul is doing here? Paul is saying that I am chained in here, but I just plundered the greatest kingdom and for the glory of God. Are you saying that I just plundered even those that are in Caesar's household and they are literally leaving? They are no longer saying Caesar Iscariot, Caesar is Lord, and they're saying Jesus is Lord, and they've become saints as well. And what Paul is doing is that his joy is sustained by the fact that he sees the kingdom of God, like the Canadian veiled fires that are spreading everywhere, and smoke is everywhere, and he's seeing nothing but saints everywhere. There are saints in Philippi, there are saints here, and there are saints even here in Caesar's household. Paul is taking the energy he has. He's like, I'm grateful for this gift. Now, what's next? Hey, have you heard about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's greater than Caesar and all that. And Paul here is saying that, listen, the kingdom is growing, and my joy is sustained because of that. Listen, church, that's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why, like, ever since day one here at City Church, if I can be honest with you, ever since day one, we've sat down even as the elders, and we've talked about this over and over. Maybe this is the time when we need to just maybe, you know, our budget kind of just like is a little bit slim. Maybe we need to just take care of our needs only. But we've looked at that every single time budget time comes, and we're like, nah, we need to be tied to something bigger than ourselves. We need to be tied to what God is doing, islands, and people who don't look like us, and people like right now, we now have children and people coming to know Jesus. And our joy needs to be tied in the fact that like in every single place, he says this at the end there, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And really what he's saying there, our joy needs to be tied in the fact that this one spirit, Jesus Christ, is the one who is our source of our joy, and no matter wherever we are, and this joy is taking place everywhere. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you, God, that resilient joy comes from looking and seeing you at work So, Lord, I pray, God, that even this morning, you would take us as a church, and that, Lord, you would begin to confront every single way, Lord, that we look for sustained joy. That, Lord, you would help us through your strength, Christ, to tie our joy in you. And to tie our joy in seeing where you are at work, in the evidences of grace in those that are around us, evidences of grace in us, and in those that are around us, and also in the world. So thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, you have called us into kingdom citizens, into joyful kingdom, to become joyful kingdom citizens. And even this morning, we ask you that, Lord, you would continue to sustain us as a church to be joyful people, not because of us, but because of you and what you have done and what you are doing. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.